Yasoda Nandana Braja Janda Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vana Chari Jamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yeah, Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Samabhitta Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Go Premanandi All glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guru, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Guru Shivani Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gaudavani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasha Chadesha Charane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shvasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Verse 53. Andehopi mamata bhakchet.
Andehopi mamata bhakchet.
Taryaso na ma vat priyaha. Yajiryatya pidehe smin. Jivitasa baliyasi. Deha, the body, api, also, mamata, possessiveness, bhak, focus, chet, if, tarhi, then, asau, that body, na, not, atmavat, in the same way as the soul, priya, dear, yat, because, jiryati, when it is growing old, api, even, dehe, the body, asmin, this, jivita asa, desire to remain living, balyasi, very strong. Translation, if a person comes to the stage of considering the body-mind instead of me, he will certainly not consider the body as dear as his own self. After all, even as the body is growing old and useless, one's desire to continue living remains strong. Report the word mamata bhak is very significant here. The ordinary foolish person thinks, I am this body. A more discriminating, intelligent person thinks, this is my body. In the literature and folklore of ordinary people, we find the common theme of an old, decrepit person dreaming of obtaining a new, young body. Thus, even ordinary persons pick up the notion of self-realization, instinctively understanding that it is possible for the soul to exist in many different bodies. As the body of an intelligent person becomes old and useless, he strongly desires to live, even when he knows that his body cannot live much longer. This indicates he is gradually becoming aware that his self is more important than his body. Thus, simply the desire for life can indirectly bring one to a preliminary understanding of self-realization, and in this case as well, one's basic attachment is to one's own self and not to that which supposedly belongs to oneself. It may be pointed out that the entire discussion between King Pariksit and Sukadeva Goswami regarding the dearness of one's own self is ultimately meant for broaching the subject of why the cows and cowherd ladies of Vrindavan consider Krishna more dear than their own selves and certainly more dear than their own offspring. The discussion proceeds as follows. Text 54, therefore, it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being, and it is simply for the satisfaction of this self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exists. Wherefore, the word characharam indicates moving living entities such as animals and non-moving living entities such as trees, or the word may also refer to moving possessions such as one's family and pets and non-moving possessions such as one's house and household paraphernalia. Text 55. You should know Krishna to be the original soul of all living entities. For the benefit of the whole universe, he has, out of his causes mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his internal potency. Our important Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalita, chapter 23. Text 162, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. Pariksit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami why Krishna was so beloved by the residents of Vrindavan, who loved him even more than their own offspring or life itself. At that time, Sukadeva Goswami replied with that everyone's atma or soul is very, very dear, especially to all living entities who accept the material bodies, but the atma, the spirit soul, is part and parcel of Krishna. For this reason, Krishna is very dear to every living entity. Everyone's body is very dear to oneself, and one wants to protect the body by all means, because within the body the soul is living. Due to the intimate relationship between the soul and the body is important and dear to everyone. Similarly, the soul, being part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is very dear to all living entities. Unfortunately, the soul forgets his constitutional position and thinks he is only the body. Thus, the soul is subjected to the rules and regulations of material nature. When a living entity by his intelligence reawakens his attraction for Krishna, he can understand that he is not the body but part and parcel of Krishna. Thus, filled with knowledge, he no longer labors under attachment to the body and everything related to the body. Material existence wherein one thinks I am the body and this belongs to me is also illusory. One must redirect his attraction to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam states, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayochata By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So, the question was asked, why were the cowherd people so attached to Krishna more than their own children. Of course, Krishna became their children at that time, but one would think that they would be more attached to their own children because they came from their particular bodies, so to speak. Of course, this is only, we can say, lokika or customary vision, because actually they don't have material bodies at all, and they're not born like people are born in this material world as sons and daughters of certain parents by genetics or whatever. So that's not there. But it's a little bit unusual that they would develop more attraction for Krishna than for their own children here, even though they looked exactly the same. And so the answer is given here, that actually Krishna is the dearest of all. Now the body is dear to most people, but the soul within the body is more dear. And that was just illustrated here, that even though when the body gets old, we're not so attracted to the body anymore, but the life in the body is attractive, so we still want to maintain life. We still want to live. So that is a sign that there's something more in the body than just the body, because we're no longer attracted to the body, but we want to live. So that life force is attractive, and that life force is the Atma. But the Atma also exists only because the Lord exists. He is the soul of the soul, so to speak. He is the person who gives the soul its consciousness, its life, its capacity for experience and action and bliss and whatever. All this is given by the Supreme Lord Himself, so He is actually the life of the jiva. So naturally, He would be more attractive to the jiva than even His own soul. In other words, we have three stages of realization. First, we realize we're the body, then we realize we're the soul. Then we realize that there's somebody else within that, and that is Supreme Lord, and He is the essence of everything. So in this way, we come to higher and higher realization. And we would think, of course, that we would treasure our own self more than anything else. But just as we treasure the soul over the body, so we treasure the Supreme Lord over our soul. That is the nature of existence in terms of Supreme Lord, Atma, and body. So it's natural, therefore, that everyone should be more attracted to Krishna than themselves, their bodies, or their offspring, or whatever. So this is the ultimate conclusion, of course, of all scriptures, and it leads directly to bhakti. If the Supreme Lord is most dear, then it's natural that we should have an affectionate relationship with the Supreme Lord, and we should serve Him as our life and soul. And that is the nature of bhakti. So the very definition of bhakti is Krishna Anusilanam, cultivating a relationship with the Supreme Lord in a favorable, affectionate way. That's what bhakti is. So when we recognize Krishna as the highest soul, then we can begin developing that relationship with Him. If we do not recognize the Supreme Lord, then we have two alternatives. One, of course, is we can just recognize the body, in our body, and try to get some pleasure from that material body. So this is what we call sense gratification. We strive for giving satisfaction to our material body. So that's the lowest level of consciousness. And that is the consciousness of all living creatures in the material world until we become a human being. So animals and plants basically are bodily conscious, and their only aim is to maintain that body. And as the animals progress upwards a little bit, then they get a little happiness from other things, like playing and eating or whatever like that. But still, it is bodily conscious. When we come to the human being, then there is an opportunity to become aware of oneself. Oh, I am this body. And then beyond that, I am not the body, I am the soul.
these two realizations are there. In animals and plants, they can't even be aware that I am the body, etc. They just act according to their conditions. Very low consciousness. So, the human being has the possibility of awareness of himself as the body or himself as the Atma. So, this is the special privilege of the human being. And therefore, it is advised that the human being should take advantage of this and find out, inquire and find out what is the real nature of the self. So this leads to Atmajnana. However, that inquiry and that curiosity and awareness does not really take place until one comes to Sattva-gun. And in Sattva-gun, we start the inquiry for Tamaguna, which is basically like the animals. And Rajaguna, we're like intelligent animals. And in Sattva-guna, then we become detached from the material body and all the gratification in the body. So then we begin an inquiry of higher values. That's the nature of the gunas. So that is why Sattva-guna is superior, because it leads to this inquiry. So then we can discover we're not the material body at all, we're the Atma if we go to the scriptures, and then we can practice detachment from material things. Of course, in Sattva-gun, detachment is natural, and there's an attraction for the soul. So if one cultivates that, one uses the process of Jnana Yoga and Astanga Yoga to do that. And we have all sorts of rules and regulations to develop more and more detachment. So by this, we understand we are the soul. And we don't engage in activities to distract from that, activities which will further our identity with the material body. So that's why we go for detachment. We don't want to do activities by which we have material attachments, because that's basically bodily conscious. So the satisfaction of this knowledge is that one is aware of his real nature. So that in itself is a satisfaction. And Bhagavad Gita describes that the sthita pragya is satisfied within, and therefore it's very easy for him to withdraw his senses from external objects as a tortoise withdraws his legs into his shell. So he gets satisfaction within. So this is also the nature of Sattva-gun. One is satisfied not by sense gratification, but with the Atma, realization of the Atma gives satisfaction. So that is a type of happiness. That becomes perfect when we give up the body completely with complete detachment and free yourself from karma. And that is called liberation from the material world, or mukti, moksha. So this is the, we can say, it's a big endeavor to do that. And therefore, the scriptures spend a lot of time encouraging people to reject the material body and understand they're the Atma. So for that reason, people think that is the final goal, because a lot of emphasis is put upon this in the scripture. So I think that's the goal then. And they don't understand that there's another realization after that. So we can say it is preliminary spiritual life. So if we look further in the scriptures, then we will find that there is a recognition of Supreme Lord. That is the Lord who is dear, the dearest object of the Atma. And one gets more satisfaction from that. So whatever bliss is in Brahman is compared to a drop of water in the desert, compared to the ocean of bliss through bhakti. So by understanding Supreme Lord as a jiva and establishing a relationship with him, then one develops a much, much higher type of happiness and bliss. So this, unfortunately, is not available by rational, logical thinking. We can't come to a conclusion of a Supreme Lord and who He is and our relationship with Him by that, by logic. So we have to go to the Scripture for that. So therefore we have the Bhakti Scriptures, which will tell us about that Supreme Lord. So the Bhagavatam is important because it not only identifies the Supreme Lord, but it describes the Supreme Lord in His highest aspect as Krishna. He is the most attractive with the most attractive pastimes and qualities. So He is described in Bhagavatam. And for this reason, the Bhagavatam we take as the final conclusive scripture for everyone, because it presents the highest, most attractive form of God. And then naturally, we can develop a loving relationship with Him very easily, because He is the most attractive form, dearest of all. So, and this is illustrated by the activities of the people of Vrindavan. They are the highest devotees, and their relationship with Krishna is the highest. And it expresses how Krishna is the dearest because of their spontaneous attraction called raga. They're spontaneously attracted to Him. So that is here the conclusion that Krishna is the most dear, or the Supreme Lord is the most dear. So, of course, the Lord in any form is dear, and one can establish prema with any form of the Lord. But the relationship with Krishna is even more intense because Krishna is the most attractive form. And in Vrindavan, Krishna is the most attractive. So therefore, we have the most intense relationships here. So then spontaneously, everyone is attracted to Krishna, even if they don't know it's Krishna. In this case, Krishna was disguised as the calves and the cowherd boys, and nobody knew. Even Balaram didn't know. What to speak of the parents and the cows, they didn't know. But because it's Krishna and their natural attraction to Krishna, then they were completely attracted to Krishna, more than they were for even their own children or anything else, because it was Krishna. But of course, He took the forms of their children. So this illustrates the very spontaneous nature of their attraction to Krishna. Even if He disguises His form, they become very attracted to that form also. And of course, the same happens with Krishna. He can disguise Himself, but not completely. He could not make Himself like the cowherd boys, in the sense that no one could develop more attraction for Him than for the normal cowherd boys. Somehow or other, they developed more attraction for these cowherd boys because it was Krishna, even though they weren't consciously aware of it. So Krishna also could not even prevent Himself from showing His attractive nature there. Why? Because He is also attracted to those parents and the cows, etc., because they're His devotees. So Krishna is very, very attracted to His devotees, and therefore He cannot help but manifest His affection for them as well. So in this way, we have Krishna indicated as the most attractive of all, and everyone in Vrindavan takes Him as their life and soul. No matter what form He takes, He becomes most attractive.
Own knowledge. So that being the case, a person in ignorance is bound to be satisfied with whatever the mean activities he is carrying out. But this ignorance cannot be erased without the mercy of the devotees. But that soul, how does or where from it gets an opportunity to get the association of devotees?
Well, the association of devotees comes from mercy of devotees. If they are available in the material world and they engage other persons unconsciously or consciously in devotional service, then those persons get the benefit. If there's no devotees there, very difficult to get mercy. So therefore, the devotees are always a necessary factor in the material world to give mercy to persons. Otherwise, it's rather hopeless for them.
The soul itself doesn't have a natural attraction. How can something which doesn't have a spontaneous attraction get attracted?
Well, some are spontaneous because nitya. That is eternally, those jivas are eternally in that position. Others can develop that attraction until it becomes spontaneous. It becomes spontaneous simply because of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. If they don't get the mercy of the Supreme Lord, they can't develop that attraction at all. So that's why we say, Guru Krishna Prasade by Bhakti Lata Beej. It is by the mercy of Guru and Krishna that one gets the seed of bhakti and it develops. And through the whole process, bhakti itself is by the mercy of Krishna, coming from Krishna himself, manifested through devotees. So it's very intimately related with Krishna himself. So the more the devotee endeavors, the more Krishna gives. But he doesn't give anything, then you cannot develop that type of attraction at all. So it's really dependent upon the mercy of the Supreme Lord ultimately. And it passes through the devotees.
Maharaj, you said detachment comes in Sattva Guna, which is very important quality to advance in bhakti. And like we hear from scriptures that Billu Mangala Thakur, he plucked his eyes because he was following a woman. So, I mean, in this context, Maharaj, how is it castration a favorable process for bhakti? I mean, would it help?
Well, normally the devotee, if we're devotees, that is, then we follow the normal procedures of controlling the senses through engagement in bhakti. That's the main process we follow. There are extraordinary cases like Bilba Mangal cutting out his eyes or whatever like that. But these are extraordinary cases. So that's not the normal case of the devotee. So they usually engage more intensely in the process of bhakti. That's the natural process. And of course, in one sense, for people who are not advanced, even if you were to take out your eyes, you would still be thinking of those objects, as it says in Bhagavad Gita. Even if you take the objects away and you think you're renounced, your mind will dwell on the objects anyway. So therefore, it's like a little bit artificial. So therefore, the main thing is to gradually develop by engagement in bhakti until the attraction for the Lord becomes stronger and stronger. Then material attraction becomes weaker and weaker naturally.